Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Anthony Guerrero from Love, Valor, and Compassion. This is an in-depth interview with Tom Williams, and you do not want to miss it. And of course, we have Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. My special guest this week is Anthony Guerrero, who is one of the eight stars of a very strong Love, Valor, Compassion. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Great. You are also the executive director of the theater group, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First, tell us about Love, Valor, and Compassion. Tell us who wrote it and what it's about for those who have not had the honor of seeing this terrific play.
Love, Valor, Compassion was written in 1994 by Terrence McNally, who's a fantastic playwright.
Yes, he is.
I think this is one of his best shows. And it is about eight gay men who take vacations over the three holidays in the summer of 1994, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July in the middle there. And it is different kinds of relationships. There's a set of twin brothers who do not like each other, and they're from Great Britain. And there are lovers, two people that have been together for 14 years.
Kind of the old married couple, huh?
Yes, they're the old standby married couple, and they say that it's very hard being role models,
I think. That's right, they did
the
say that
from the show. And Gregory is the owner of the house, and he's a choreographer in New York City. And he has a lover who is blind, and they've been together for a few years. And Gregory is very passionate about his house, and his friends and friendships mean the world to him. So he invites these people up, even though there's one that people don't like very much. His name is John.
That's the character you play, isn't it?
Yes, it is one of the characters that I play. And John is one of the twin brothers. And basically the twin brothers embody good and evil. And it seems to be very clear that John is not very nice to people. And people just tolerate him. Gregory shows compassion, Love, Valor, Compassion. Gregory shows him the compassion that not everybody else is necessarily willing to give to him.
Okay, and then you have Buzz.
Buzz is a character that I don't think anybody in the audience could ever not love.
Oh, yeah.
He's very funny and basically musical theater. He knows every fact, every show that was ever created on Broadway, how long it ran for. He knows the songs, every song from every show, even if it's an obscure musical that you've never heard of.
You know what you need to do? You need to get Michael Graham, who plays him, who's terrific. You guys need to put a part of the show on at Sidetracks on a Monday night.
Help just promote. Have him.
Well, they do that for other music. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
They do that, but they'd probably be open to that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, afterward, I'll give you the contact name.
Okay, that'll be fantastic.
Any of those, if Michael were to do the lines on the show, he'd get the audience just going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a great idea, and I'm sure he'd be very into it. He's a fun person.
So this is more than just a friendship play. Because on one level, it's a comedy, but on another level, it's full of melancholy and pathos.
It is very much so. It does deal with the subject of AIDS.
Right. But it's not one of those crying AIDS plays that we saw a lot of that were needed at the time. But
right.
McNally has matured beyond that.
Yes, and that's the thing why I think this piece also still works here in 2007, because it's not, again, the characters are living with AIDS, and it's about people, you know, accepting what they have and learning to live with what was dealt with them and to them in life. And so you do get to see that side of it, and you get to see a little bit of how the illness affects a couple of the characters. But they don't let them they don't let that subject get them down. The two characters that have it are Buzz and James, which is the good twin, and they are two of the most ambitious life full people, I think, in the show. And
it's a tender romance between Buzz and James.
And then Buzz and James,
yes,
do fall in love.
Yeah, that's the love part.
Yes.
Well, and the older couple having that.
Even though they bicker and fight, but 14 years will do that to you, I guess. But yes, Buzz and James fall in love, and it's very beautiful, I think, that moment where they find love. And of course, you know, Buzz worries about losing him or going first, and there is that dilemma in his head of, yes, I love this person, but it's very hard knowing that somebody could possibly die soon.
Yeah, so it has those moments, but I'll tell you, brilliantly, McNally blends the comedy. This is a belly laugh play.
Yes, it is.
It really is. And it's a play that I sat with a straight couple, mm-hmm, at the show, and I've taken gay friends and straight friends to see this piece, and it's universal. It's not a gay man's play,
not necessarily.
At all. Although they will relate to it and love it, it's a play for everybody except maybe young kids.
Yes. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to young kids, but we've had a large number of straight people already on the first weekend come to the show and have nothing but good things to say about it.
Well, they know the play and they know Terrence McNally.
Yes.
And some people saw the movie too. And I must say, I liked your production better than the film.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was quite strong. So tell us how you cast the play, because a little bit about your theater group.
Okay. Well, Huber's...
Tell me about theater group. Yeah.
Huber's Productions is, we are just about to reach our two-year birthday, I guess, as you would call it. And it was created by myself and two others, Jacob Christopher Green and Patricia Savio. And the three of us have always in our heart of hearts wanted a theater company in Chicago. What better place than Chicago?
This is the place. They all come here to Denny. I know you're originally from New York. So,
Actually, I'm originally from Toledo, but I spent many, many years in New York.
Okay.
And I love New York, but it's very hard to start a theater company there.
Costs kill you.
Yes, definitely. It's hard here, too, but it's much more worth it, I think. And so Huber's Productions, we got together and did this about 2 years ago, and this is our fourth production as
a
company.
I saw Jeffrey.
Jeffrey was last summer.
Yes. And it was dynamite.
And that is one thing that we definitely want to do is every summer in honor of Pride, we will always do a gay-themed play every summer. And this year it was Love, Valor, Compassion. And to go back to casting, we do have an ensemble company members as a part of the company. There are 13 of us. And so as far as casting, what happens within the company is you basically kind of request a role. Once the show is picked, you can kind of write a form and request the role. And it's all final decisions are made by the director of the show, always.
Okay, that's good. Who, in this case?
Is Scott Schellenberger.
Who did a nice job. He's one of the ensemble members, too.
He is an ensemble member, and he directs our summer shows.
Well, kudos to him and to your theater group, because five of the eight people were from the theater group.
Yes.
And that says a lot about your theater group.
Yes. And we love everyone in our company, and we love the new actors that came to be a part of the show very much so. And we just did it through an open audition, listed in Perform Inc., of course, and they came and had an open audition. We had many talented people come out and audition, and the three that were added are fantastic.
Okay, let's go over the people that are in the show. We'll start with you. You're playing John and James. You're the good guy and the bad guy.
I play good and evil in two people. And
I thought, by the way, you were marvelous in it, because
thank
it's
you.
Hard when you go from one to the other. And I saw a production where the actor got lost and he didn't realize that he was the good guy when he was in the bad guy scene or whatever. He had him
say it can be a bit schizophrenic playing two people in one show, especially when they are so different. But John, yes, is the bad one, and James is the good one, and they're from Great Britain, and you do learn in the show why John doesn't like James so much, and he felt that he always had everyone's love and he never felt loved. And so that's where John is. Jacob Christopher Green is our artistic director, and he plays Perry, one of the coupled 14-year partners, who is fantastic.
Yes, he is.
And his partner is played by John Blick, who plays Arthur. And they play very well with each other.
Yeah, they do. The chemistry,
14-year relationship, and they just met a few months ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good actor, because you kind of believe it.
Yes, definitely. And yes, John is one that we found from the open auditions. But yes, their chemistry is perfect. They play, if anybody's in a long-term relationship, they know that at a certain point, it just, that's what it is. And then we have Michael Graham, who you mentioned earlier.
Who's one of my favorites, yes.
Is fantastic.
And I've seen him in several things around town. Yeah, he's been very good in all of them.
And he has worked with several different companies. I believe had a company of his own for a while there, a short time. But he's fantastic, and he's nothing like Buzz, which is fantastic. He has the fun-loving spirit of Buzz, but I don't think he knows all the musical theater facts.
But what I thought was terrific about it, he didn't try and imitate Nathan Lane, who played it on Broadway, and I believe Alexander played it in the film.
Yes, Jason Alexander.
Yeah, and he sort of established it as his own character.
Yes, Michael made it his own.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what an actor does. And
that's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
Yes, that's what actors are supposed to do, I should say. And who else? We have Adrian Gonzalez plays the young, cute, Latin, Puerto Rican lover of John.
Yeah, and he doesn't mind walking around naked on the stage.
Not at all.
He looks like he's having a good time.
He is definitely having a good time, and he's a wonderful person, and the role was written for him somewhere. If Terrence McNally could meet him, he would say so himself, I think. And who am I missing? Gregory is played by Brian Lee Bennett, who is also a company member.
Yes, and I thought he played the aging dancer.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and you could see that his fear was getting old.
Yes.
And the body wearing out.
And his body is giving in, and that's obviously the last thing a dancer ever wants, a choreographer, is to lose their body.
And his transition from being jealous of Ramon to actually seeing in Ramon himself when he was a young guy, sort of passing on the torch.
That's Gregory's conflict.
Yes.
It's very hard because he knows that there's a possible affair between his lover and the young Ramon.
We got to mention Bobby because I thought...
Bobby and Ramon are the ones that...
But Bobby's played by?
Bobby's played by Andy Sinclair, who is also a company member of Fearless
Productions. Terrific. I mean, he's got that little angelic little movie.
He
plays the blind guy.
He turns on that smile and you can't not love him.
Yeah.
That's our Andy. And yes, he plays Bobby, who is blind, which is also very challenging for an actor to
I've had a lot of dealings with blind people, and he did not look like an actor trying to play blind. He really kind of believed it.
Right.
He had that down. Again, that's part of the talent.
And I think that's why this show, Terrence McNally definitely wrote a challenging show for actors.
He sure did.
Which is one of the reasons why we picked it, to give ourselves in the company a challenge, and then any actor that we brought in. Every character is very, very difficult, and I think... I know me personally as an actor, it's a dream to do this show because it's so challenging.
Yeah, and it's a terrific ensemble piece. Like, for example, the Bobby character, you not only love him, but the comedy where he sort of mocks being blind delivers some of the laughs. But you don't laugh. At first, the first couple of laughs are a little uncomfortable because then you get so used to it that he's used to it and he's at home with
it. Yes.
And it's just a belly laugh.
And it's the same thing. Again, it's a character. McNally is genius. Who would think, let's write in the blind person. I'm writing a play. Again, it's not necessarily about AIDS, but includes AIDS. But we're going to make a blind person. It's about all these characters have obstacles in their life. And it's about how these people deal with them on a daily basis. And most of them have learned you either deal with it and live your life, or what's the point? I think that question is even asked, what's the point if you can't face up to what life has dealt you and be strong and get through it and live your life to the fullest?
I think it also speaks about the gay life has its differences, but hey, we're just people like anyone else.
Most definitely. Yeah. It's definitely a slice of life. Obviously, it's much more than slice of life, as we've already talked about. But to make it really easy, it's just a slice of life. And it's just people being people living their lives. And again, those could be straight people up there, gay people up there easily. And I think that's why straight people can come see the show and relate with it. Because you can relate. no matter if you're gay or straight, again, a 14-year relationship is a 14-year relationship.
That's true, yeah.
No matter what.
And, of course, he made one an accountant and one an attorney, too,
yes.
Which is kind of added. Yeah. Well, that's like all the yuppies up and down Lakeshore Drive.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. You know, and characters, there's always a group of friends that somebody isn't necessarily fond of, like John, you know, but they tolerate him, and he's there. And,
there's always a little flirting going on and occasional little,
yes,
little behind the scenes.
Meetings out on the raft and the lake and... And, you know, Arthur has his opportunity to flirt with Ramon a little bit out there. And
that's true.
Who doesn't after 14 years? And who wouldn't want to flirt with Ramon? You know, he's very extremely good looking and he's fun. He's kind of the fun, doesn't take life too seriously character.
Okay, now that we have people's interest, and I think a lot of people would want to come see the play, time now for a little commercial for the play. I want you to tell us where it's at. It's at a phenomenal new facility.
Okay, we are at the Center on Halsted, which is a brand new facility that just had its grand opening in June, located at 3656 North Halsted on the corner of Waveland and Halsted. And we are in their brand new Hoover Leppin Theater, which is on the third floor of the building.
Yes, and we are sitting in the theater. It seats, what, around 140?
Around 140.
It's a nice theater that's air-conditioned, very seats are comfortable.
Yes, and it was very important for the center to have the theater to them. Like,
yeah, tell us a little about the center and how you
guys
got
involved. The center in Halsted actually started out as Horizons. A lot of people may know it as Horizons when it started back in the 70s. And it started out just as a call support line.
It was a gay lesbian support line. Okay.
And so over the years it has grown, and basically what it is now as the center is a combination of community center, but they also have a very strong youth program here for gay and lesbian youth, and also very strong mental health services area that people have. They have support groups, and you can go there for counseling.
This is a large building, too.
It's a very large building, yeah. Three floors.
I was impressed. The second floor has a ton of beautiful offices. And
there's offices, meeting rooms. Yeah. And
somebody said next to the theater, there's a gym, too. Huh?
Yes, there is a gymnasium, and I believe Mondays right now they have open gym. They could just come in and play
some
basketball.
Us, how does a fledgling brand new theater group get to be the resident theater company, which I understand you guys are?
Well, we're not necessarily the resident theater company.
All right. Okay.
We are the tenant theater company here.
Okay.
Because Gayco is here as well, which is, of course, improv, so it's a little different than who we are. And... But what it actually started with a simple email, thank technology. And I had read that the center had planned on having a theater as a part of its building. And as a new company, of course, we didn't have a home. We had rented from other places such as Steep and Stage Left and so forth, as many new itinerant companies do here. And when I read about the center having a theater, I sent to info@centeronhalsted.org, said, I'm a theater company. I hear you're going to have a theater. Please direct this email to who it should. And then that person ended up being Modesto Tico Valle, who is now the executive director of the center. He was deputy executive director at the time.
And well, good for you for being aggressive. A lot of people don't realize it. Sometimes it's as simple as asking.
Right.
Yeah.
It asks. You know, the worst thing that they're going to say is no.
I know. That's why I hate when people tell me how things can't be done. And I go, that's why it's never done for you.
Right.
I somehow
definitely
get things done.
I agree.
Because I agree. I'm dumb enough to figure they can be done.
And that's kind of how I run this company, along with Jacob, the two of us. We're going to make it happen, and we're going to do it until somebody says no, and then we'll be like, okay, well, we'll still find a way to do it this way.
Well, you guys are there's only really a couple of gay-oriented theater group. I mean, About Face is the Equity Company.
Yes.
And Eric Rosen's run that marvelous work.
Definitely.
And
then there's Bailiwick.
Bailiwick, yeah. David Zach and his group of Bailiwick. And then there's you guys.
And there's us. And
there aren't too many more. Can you think of it? I can't think of any others.
Not really.
And I'm pretty up on what's going on.
And not to say that we're always going to do gay. We want to do shows that are good, period. Again, like we were talking about Love, Valor, Compassion. Gay and straight people can enjoy it. There are plenty of course straight people plays out there that gays love as well, and we'll do some of those, and we just happen to be run by two gay men. And so,
well, but I mean, About Face does non-gay plays too.
Yes, definitely.
But you're going to still kind of stay with your core,
definitely, right? And that's why again we're here at the center on Halsted, which is underscored as the Gay and Lesbian Community Center. And you know, and that's In meeting with Tico when we started on this endeavor with them, that's what was important, is the fact that they liked our mission statement. They liked, I mean, we're all about diversity and opening up dialogue in the community about diversity, and that's all forms of diversity, and I think the center really appreciated that.
Okay, yeah, so that it does all fit in. Yeah, that
yes.
helped too, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We're a good match.
So tell us now what days you're running and what show times, ticket price, and number of the call. A little commercial for
all right.
Love, Valor, and Compassion.
We are running through August 12th, Thursday nights through Sunday nights at 8 p.m.
Sunday night at 8 p.m.
Yes,
good.
Even Sundays.
Okay, that's
a little different.
About the only one in town that would do that, and that's
yeah.
probably a good idea.
Yeah, we're not a matinee type of group, so we don't do matinees.
Okay.
And that's just our thing. And so, yes. And Sunday nights is actually industry night. So if you are in the theater industry, bring us your headshot and resume, or if you're a director, your resume, or a business card if you're an executive director like myself. And those are $10 tickets on Sunday nights for industry related. Adult ticket prices for everyone else is $20. And then if you're a student or senior, and or senior, there could be senior students, then that's $15.
Okay. Which is a bargain for a three-act play.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are getting a night of theater.
you certainly are. It's two intermissions, three acts, around 3 hours.
Yes.
And folks, it flies by because the story's good.
Good.
You know, so don't let that...
Don't let that scare you.
You get the love and care about the characters. So you could spend another hour with them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
good.
That kind of work.
That's how I felt when I very first saw it. Again, another reason why we chose this show.
Well, and you weren't aware because you've been here like 5 years in Chicago, right?
I have been here five years, yes.
That it had this play had a very successful run at the Old Organic Theater.
Which is
ran for over
great.
A year.
That's great.
And that's good because there's
I
a
did
lot
not
of
know that.
Yeah, but a lot of people are going to remember that and they're going to want to come see it again.
Right.
So I think your timing is good. And it was really was it Buckingham and Clark? It's now a condo.
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah, everything in Chicago becomes a condo eventually.
Everything is becoming a condo.
So tell us now your background and how you got started, but your theater background.
Okay. I have been in theater. I just actually thought of it the other day that it's now been 25 years. And I actually started on my friend's back porch, two doors down from growing up. And we used to create plays and stuff for the neighborhood, our families and our other friends in the neighborhood. We would get them all together. And I was a leader then. I was like, this is what we're going to do. And I was 6 years old. And so that's how I started. And I just been in love with it. And it was just a wooden back porch was my first stage. And then, of course, I just got involved. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. And so I did stuff with the Toledo Repertoire Theater, and then there was Oregon Community Theater. I did a lot of that, of course, high school. And then everyone thought, oh, well, that's a phase. He'll do something else by the time he gets to college. So my parents hoped.
They're scared to death of you being an actor.
Most definitely.
But they don't mind if you end up like Tom Cruise, right?
Exactly, yeah. Of course, because that was then go out and make $20 million a picture, and you're the best. But I didn't give up, and I kept going, and I actually moved to New York City when I was 18, and I did attend NYU, and I attended both the Tisch School of the Arts and the Gallatin School of Individualized Study, and ended up creating my own program. And I graduated with my bachelor's degree, and I stayed there for a while, and I did work there, and I got into writing my own one-man shows, which I've done a couple of now, including one here in Chicago. And I loved New York City, but it can be very intense as a poor starving actor.
Yes.
And so, and being young, you know, it might be completely different if I decided to move there tomorrow, which I don't plan on doing. It might have been different being in my 30s than it was 18 in early 20s. So I took some time off from theater actually for a while, and I moved back to Ohio for a little bit. And then it sunk in that, no, I can't give it up. There's just, it's in my blood and who I am. And so I moved here 5 years ago, and I have performed with the Bailiwick. I did a show at the theater building and things like that. And then when I met up with Jacob, I actually know Jacob from moving back to Ohio this last time. We worked at Banana Republic together, and he happened to end up moving here. And after a while, we were just like, we were tired of auditioning for other people. I think, and you hit that spot, and we can do this. And that's why
Chicago is where it's happening in theater,
yes.
is because so many talented people come from other cities.
Yes.
Your story is fairly common among people I interview.
Definitely.
Which is great.
It's an actor's life. I think that you can easily...
So tell us about the one-man shows you've done, huh? Because I'm intrigued by one-man shows.
They are very interesting, and it's something I never, ever thought that I would do, and it came from a class that I took at NYU.
What's the title?
The title of the first one-man show is called Voices.
Okay.
And it was about coming out. It was about... the bit of indiscretions I may have had as a young person living in New York City during the partying 90s.
Okay.
And it was basically where I was at that point in my life, and how it's kind of scary being 18 and 19 and 20 years old and a young gay man in New York City. And
have you performed it here?
That one I have not.
Did you plan on it?
Now that
sounds like
I have,
a good off night.
Now that
show.
I have my own company and have a beautiful theater to perform it in, now I might.
Okay. And what's you've had more than one?
And the other, yes. And the other one is called, what is it called? Basement Diaries.
Basement Diary. Interesting
and
name.
And that is all about, it's about a very wonderful relationship that I had and no longer had. It's about my ending time in New York, really, and a lot of endings. And I wrote it when I was living back in Ohio this last time. And I was staying in my friend's basement, and that's where my bedroom was. And so all of a sudden, I just got inspired to write about that relationship. A lot of it is
again, have you performed that here?
And that was here, yes.
Okay,
I did that with...
You did.
It was Solo Homo with the Newtown Writers. They did the Newtown Writers at the Bailiwick. Did an evening of solo pieces, and mine was one of them.
It sounds like both of them, or particularly the first one, would be good for the youth center here to kind of give the
Definitely.
Kids of like,
and
this is what it's about, you know.
That's a great idea, and actually my theater company here, we just started working with the youth program here at the center in Halstead. We're teaching workshops on
good,
Saturday
we have to
afternoons.
Get the young... I get so tired of seeing all the gray-haired dinosaurs in opening nights at all the theaters.
Yes.
No, we need to get the young kids in.
Definitely. And that's why, again, that's why this building is so wonderful, and the fact that they have community partners, of which we are one here, and to open up things for the youth, like to expose the youth, instead of just having them rammed into one room in another building separate from everything else that's going on. Here they're integrated, and they're not treated like children. You know, they are accepted as wonderful gay, lesbian, transgendered individuals. And so we are...
That's important.
Yes.
Yes.
And we are working with them on Saturday afternoons. We're doing some theater workshops with them. And not just necessarily to teach them acting. It's about how acting can help you in your everyday life, possibly. Job interviews and things like that.
Well, make sure you let me know if you do that show for the kids. I'd love to come see it and see the reaction.
And that's a great idea. Thank you very much.
You know,
that
I mean, really, I think that... That would be needed. I'm sure the powers to be would agree with it, because
yes.
again, don't sugarcoat. Better
right.
off telling the kids the truth.
Right.
The truth always
yes.
wins. Yeah,
definitely, definitely, definitely. And yeah, there's no reason to sugarcoat it. They've experienced lots of things. They know.
Yeah, they know. And they learn long earlier than we think.
Yes.
Okay. In the interest of time, tell us about what you're going to be doing 5 years from now, and what your theater group's going to be doing 5 years from now. What are you planning for the future?
Well, I definitely expect my company to be around 5 years from
okay,
now, and I expect
cool.
to still be the executive director.
Good.
And doing shows. I probably won't be doing as many shows.
Are you guys non-for-profit, or you're in
we
that
are
process?
Actually in the process. We are filed.
So you're so you can become Jeff eligible.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And along with it, we'll finally reach all the other criteria
yeah.
this year. So starting
Good.
Next year,
Good.
We'll be Jeff eligible, which I'm very excited about. So yes, by then I plan to have won a few Jeffs, maybe personally, but at least for the company and the shows that we do. So I see that within the next 5 years.
Well, it's a shame you're not eligible now, because I think this is a Jeff caliber show.
Thank
I
you
really
very much.
I really
do. Too. And the thing is, I'm like, oh, I wish we would have done it late. Now I'm glad we did it when we did it.
Well, and things we always right. wish we could do it
right.
sooner. Yeah, right.
But we wanted to get. We thought that this would be a good show for the first show here at the Center in Halstead, and I think it fits.
So what? Tell us the shows you have coming up.
Coming up in the fall, we have Five Women Wearing the Same Dress,
okay.
which is by Ellen Ball, who is the creator of 6 Feet Under, and he wrote and won the Oscar for American Beauty.
Oh, okay. I know the name. Well, there's an equity actor in town, too, with that name, too.
Alan Ball. Yeah. Okay. And I had never knew that he actually wrote plays, but that's how he started out, and okay. He still writes plays today. And the five women are actually in a bridal party, which is why they're wearing the same dress. So it's a slice of life of some related, some not, and they're all in a bridal party and aren't necessarily into being at the wedding.
Okay.
And then in the winter, to finish out our third season here at the center, is Girls Will Be Girls, which is a very campy, fun cult film written by Richard Day. And we have special permission, actually, from him and the producers of the movie to be the world premiere on stage.
Oh, excellent. And so are they going to come in and see it?
They are. We have been in talks with them.
Wow,
and the
terrific.
Original, the cast.
That's a real coup.
Yes. See, we may be new and young, but we definitely know
That's
how to
great.
Get our feet into the ring.
That's great. You're going to have to let me know on that. That sounds like an interview there.
Yes. It should be very exciting. And basically, it's all men in the show, but all the women are played by men.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're straight women. They even have a kid and things like that, but they're played by men.
Okay.
So it's not drag necessarily, and there are no gay characters actually, except for the actors on stage.
Oh,
probably.
That sounds like it's got the ingredients of being a funny, campy show.
We're very excited to be the world premiere, and Jacob Christopher Green, our artistic director, is had special permission to adapt it for the stage.
Very good.
But we'll keep it, and I'm directing that one actually,
okay.
So we'll keep it very true to the movie.
All right. I guess we'll have to see the movie before.
Yeah.
You want them to see the movie, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because it's a very, very funny movie. And so if you've never seen it again, it's called Girls Will Be Girls.
Girls Will Be Girls.
Go out
okay.
and rent it. And I think you can buy it for a dollar at a dollar store somewhere near you. And it's just a very fun, funny film.
Wow. Well, we're at the end of this, and this has been terrific. People, you got to come out and see Love, Valor, and Compassion. It runs till when?
August 12th.
Through August 12th. And it's Thursday through Sundays at 8 o'clock at the Center on Halsted at Waveland and Halsted. Right?
Yes.
Is there a phone number for tickets?
Yes. Well, to purchase tickets online, you can go to www.hubrisproductions.com. Or you can just give us a call and we'll set up a reservation for you at 773-661-0938.
Okay. Thank you. And this has been fun.
Thank you, Tom.
And I
Thank
look forward to seeing more of your work because you guys do worthy work. And folks, thanks for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another expletive episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of July 16th, 2007. The Theater Building Chicago will be presenting Stages 2007, a festival of 8 new musicals starting on Friday, August 10th. This will be the 14th season of Stages, which focuses on the development of new materials. Hundreds, if not thousands, of authors, actors, artists, theater producers, and musical theater lovers from all across the country will be coming together for one weekend, and one weekend only this year, celebrating a truly original American art form, the musical. The Friday night opening kicks off at 6 p.m. with a reception, and at 7:30 will be the opening performance of the musical, Rex. Following that, the performances are broken down between the South and North theaters. Starting off in the South Theater will be Children of the Night. That will be shown on August 11th at 1 p.m. and August 12th at 4 p.m. Also showing in the South Theater will be Downtown from a homegrown Chicago writer. That will be at 7:30 on August 11th and 9 a.m. on the 12th. Moonshine will also be showing in the South Theater. That will be at 9 a.m. on the 11th and 1:15 on the 12th. Rex, the musical that opens it all, will be showing at the South Theater at 7:30 p.m. on the 10th, that Friday night, and also at 3:30 on the 11th. Moving over to the North Theater will be Desperadise, another show by a homegrown Chicago writer. That will be showing at 7:30 on the 11th and 9 a.m. on the 12th. The showgirl of 52nd Street can also be seen in the North Theater at 1 p.m. on the 11th and 4 p.m. on the 12th. And So Happy I Could Scream, a musical celebration of motherhood. That is another show also by homegrown Chicago writers that can be seen at 3:30 on the 11th and 7 p.m. on August 12th. Also, the musical Tomorrow Morning can be seen there as well. You can see that at 9 a.m. on August 11th and 1:15 on the 12th. Special events are slated for the West Theater at the Theater Building, Chicago. Starting off directly following the 3:30 performance of Rex on August 11th will be a conversation about the creation and history of the musical Rex. This will be an interactive question and answer session with Sheldon Harnick, Sherman Yellen, and Bert Fink. At noon on August 12th in the West Theater will be a media forum. This will be a forum covering questions such as, should Works in Progress have media coverage, or should they wait until afterwards? For more information on the entire Stages Festival and for more detailed information about the individual musicals, you can always click on over to Theater Building Chicago online at theaterbuildingchicago.org, or of course you can always check out theaterinchicago.com. Talk Theater in Chicago would like to congratulate the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee for celebrating their 500th performance. That's right, their quinquennial performance came this past Sunday, July 15th, at the Drury Lane Theater, Water Tower Place. This, of course, makes the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee the fourth longest-running Broadway show in Chicago history. Since Spelling Bee has opened, they have brought over 2,000 audience member volunteers onto the stage to test out their Spelling Bee skills. Those audience members have received over 7,500 words to spell. You still have a chance to see 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. The show will continue through September 2nd at the Drury Lane Theater, Water Tower Place. For more information, you can always check out spellingbeethemusical.com or click on over to... you know where to head out to. The Chicago Children's Theater has recently announced its 2008 season with three new plays ready for the kids. Starting off in January will be a new adaptation of The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde. This one will be from Blair Thomas of Red Moon Theater. Following that in April will be Hannah's Suitcase, directed by Sean Graney. This play is, of course, based on the book by Karen Levine. And if Sean's directing it, I'm sure it's going to be a good one. Following that will be Esperanza Rising, based on the book by Pam Ryan. This one will be directed by Henry Godinez. And if any of these three plays are like last season, it's sure to be groundbreaking. Be sure to check out Chicago Children's Theater. You can find more information about them at Talk Theater in Chicago's Now Playing section. Well, thank you very much for listening to this expletive episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Othello, Act 2, Scene 3. How poor are they that have not patience? Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater is happening. Don't miss it. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Anthony Guerrero for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.